I think there's universal about that scenario, and you got similar memories, I'm sure. And Jesus used that wonderful analogy that was so familiar to us to introduce to us this wonderful, wonderful parable. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, reading verses 16 through 24, the table is set. I want you to know that I'm doing something these days I don't ever remember having done in any church I've ever served in the many years I served as a pastor elsewhere. But I'm going back in time and finding some of my favorite messages that the Lord has used in my ministry and in our lives to touch lives and make a difference in people's lives. I'm calling it Pastor's Favorite Sermons in the Summer. And we're going to do that through the month of August. And then I'm hopeful that by the start of September, we can begin our new sermon series that I'm trying to determine what that'll be now. But now, for now, the pastor's favorite sermon series. And so just know that as I preach these messages, my heart has been spoken to already. I had me a note here. When I was in revival and evangelism, I tried to keep notes of how the Lord blessed and not trust my memory. And on August 17th of 22, I was at Olive Branch Baptist Church in Ripley, Mississippi, for my good friend, Voice Vargas is the pastor there, and he's still there. And then I've got a note right here. One person came and gave their heart and life to the Lord. And folks, if one person is touched by the grace of God, if one person's life is changed in a service, that's worth it all. And I pray that today you'll be and will be not only blessed by, but ministered to as we look at this wonderful parable together. Jesus used this analogy. The table is set. He was the house of a chief Pharisee. And this chief Pharisee must have been very impressed with Jesus, because he invited Jesus and a number of other people to come to a banquet, a meal, at his house. There are really five great truths we'll discover. We'll look at them together in just a moment. But beginning in verse 16, then said he, Jesus, unto him, that is, unto the master of the feast, the host, the Pharisee, a certain man made a great supper and bade or invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first one said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. I go to prove them, test them, try them out, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and I always get a little tickle when I read that one. His whole life changed. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus had a wonderful ministry of speaking to crowds everywhere he went, and using parables as a way to communicate the glorious truths of the gospel. The parables were relatively easy to understand, and they were just stories from everyday life that touched the lives of the listeners. And this is one of those cases. And I just can imagine that Pharisee and his family sitting around in the whole house full of guests listening to the words of Jesus. And there are several wonderful truths I'd like for us to look at together for just a moment. When we think about this theme, the table is set. What's the Lord's message? What word does God have in this simple illustration for my heart and for my life? Number one, of these five great truths in this wonderful story, we need to understand that a great table was prepared. Verse 16, a certain man made a great supper. Now, I've walked down memory lane a lot when I've looked at this passage. I can see us going to the Hartsville campground in Hartsville, Alabama, where there's a big pavilion, and every year our cousins would gather, and my mother came from a very large family, and we'd get together and show. In fact, there was one of our uncles who showed it. Was it 8mm? Pictures of the fuzzy ones that had the streaks across them, and the characters jumped around anyway. They showed 8mm films of all the cousins, and you wouldn't have recognized me in those days. I was a little chubby kid. You'll get that. I'm trying. Sarah's inspired me. I'm trying to be funny. But we would go to those family reunions, and I'd never seen so much food in one place in all of my life. And there was a row of tables stretching from the front of the pavilion to the back, and there was all types of things to eat, and what a memorable time that was. And since those times, there have been times at Christmas events and special events where our family would get together. There's something about a wonderful meal together with friends and loved ones that makes it extra special. A great table was prepared, but Jesus used this analogy not only to talk about that physical meal, of course, but the spiritual preparation God's made for us. God has prepared a table, and God's invited all of us to come. We're going to deal with that in just a moment. But in this wonderful parable, those were invited to the meal, and a lot of people came, but many did not come, even though a wonderful table was prepared for them. Now, let me pause just a moment. Let's think about that table for a moment. Have you ever been invited to a table that didn't really encourage you too much? Didn't bless you? I remember one little lady, and she was sweet as she could be, loved Jesus. She was in the very first church I pastored. And I don't guess any of my pastor friends had ever told me, Roger, that when you're a pastor, you just eat what's set before you and love it and thank God for it, even if it's turnip greens. By the way, somebody might say to me, Brother Jackie, you mean you don't like turnip greens? No, ma'am. No, sir. I never have. I never will. I just don't feel led that direction. But this lady had us over for lunch one day, and we were glad to go, and Libby knows where I'm going to this one. And she was very gracious and very kind, very precious. And she set down a pot of something. It was greasy. Grease was floating on top, and there were bones as she stirred it. She stirred it, and bones came floating to the top. So do possums have bones? I'm sure they do. But I want to tell you, that was not one that really made me hungry. I just didn't feel led to eat very much. But I've been to a lot of tables that were wonderful blessings, and if I were to come to your house, I know I'd be blessed beyond measure. I know I would. By the way, I think there's a special blessing for anybody who eats turnip greens. Now, I'm not one of them, but I pray that you'll get blessed and you can have my portion if you like. But a great table is prepared. You know, sometimes when you talk to people about the gospel, they think you've set the table like I would be with turnip greens or like that greasy big old bowl of something with bones in it. I don't know what it was. They were still getting it ready for supper, but I don't know. Well, the truth is, if you knew, like Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew what God's prepared for you, you'd ask of him and he'd give it to you. If you knew that on the table were great delicacies and the Lord's table is set and is set for every single one of us, and this wonderful parable reminds us the Lord has been good to prepare a table for us. A great table was prepared. I can't tell you how good it is to be saved. I don't have to, because you already know, most of you do, what it's like to give your heart and life to Jesus. If I had known after I got saved, I'd got saved a lot earlier if I had just known what kind of table the Lord had prepared. Some people think, well, I can't get saved. Don't want to get saved. It means going to church all the time. Now, that's some people's idea of being saved. That's part of it. We worship because we love the Lord. But there's something about the fellowship and the worship, and you hear great music like we've had this morning, Bobby and this wonderful choir and the instrumentalist. And folks, there are a lot of good things about the Lord's table being set that bless us. I go home every Sunday after Sunday night blessed and charged and ministered to, because you have ministered to me. And it's good to be a part of the family of faith. Amen.
Amen.
A great table has been set. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, I beg you, don't wait one more day. God set a wonderful table for you. Truth number two. A gracious invitation was extended. Verse 17, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them, which are bidden, come, for all things are now ready. The Lord wants you to come to his table. There's not anybody that he wants to exclude. He invites you to come and partake and dine. Come and dine, says the Lord, because he wants to bless you and me beyond measure. A gracious invitation is extended. All things are now ready. God's already done everything that needs to be done. You can't be good enough. You can't clean up enough. You can't straighten up enough. You can't quit enough stuff. You just need to come just like you are, like we often sing, to give your heart and life to Jesus, knowing he has already paid the price on Calvary's cross. A great table was prepared. A gracious invitation was extended. I was talking with a friend of mine just this week, and he had mentioned a fellowship in the church, and this is said in kind of a joking way. He said, well, I didn't get my invitation. Well, it was a different class, and there's a lot of stuff, but he laughed about it. And I got to thinking, I wonder how many people have that same thought when they come to church. And the thought is, I'm wondering if this applies to me, if I can be saved, if I can start over, if my sins can be washed away, if I can have a home in heaven. And the good news is yes, 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 and yes. God's wonderful preparation has been extended to every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world in which we live. A gracious invitation was extended. Number three, the great truths we need to understand from this wonderful parable. Grievous excuses were given. And this is the heart of this parable. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now let's think about these excuses for just a moment. One man said, I have bought some property and I'm going to go see what it looks like. Now, there's a word for anybody who buys property sight unseen. Stupid. And it would have to be an unusual circumstance. And there may be some that would justify that. I don't know what it would be. But I want to see what I'm buying, don't you? And I've bought some property. You'll understand. Tell the master, well, I'll check on me next time, but I've got to go check on my property. But secondly, a man said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go and see if they'll pull a cart. I got to go see if they'll hook up to a plow. I've got to go see if they'll work. Now, wouldn't it have been a good idea to check on those oxen before you paid for them, before you carried them home?
Yeah.
Well, the last one is my favorite. I have married a wife and I cannot come. He discovered what a honey-do list looked like. He discovered that you always ask permission. You don't always tell somebody where you're going. You ask permission. Is it all right? Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Bruce, all the way back in the back. But I get to thinking sometimes about the excuses we give the Lord. I'm going to some other time. I'm going to wait until my life is a little bit better. I'm going to wait till I can fix stuff. Aren't you grateful that we don't have to offer excuses to the Lord? He always says, come, come now, come just as you are, come like you are, for the table is set, the meal's been prepared, the blessings are available. It's a good time to come. A great table was prepared. A gracious invitation was extended. Grievous excuses were given. By the way, our excuses will not stand up before the judgment bar of God. There will not be any excuse acceptable to him for not giving your heart and your life to Jesus. But number four, and I love number four as well, glad responses were noted. Verses 21 and 22, the invitation went out and many came, and the servant said, Lord, it's done. Many have come and there's still room. There's still room for one. There's still room for you. There's still time for you to come and give your heart and your life to Jesus. I never know. I'm aware any given Sunday that we preach, it is altogether likely and most probable that the majority, if not everybody, has given your heart and life to the Lord that assembles here on Sunday morning. And I hope that's the case. But I always want you to know, if you've never given your heart and life to the Lord, don't assume because you attend a wonderful church or because you believe some good things about God, don't assume that that means that you're a child of God. Have you repented of sin? Have you by faith opened up your heart and life to the Lord? Have you turned your heart and life over to the Lordship of Christ? Have you asked Him to come into your heart? The glad responses were noted. Lord, it's done and there's still room. But then number five, which is the most serious and the most solemn of the five truths in this wonderful parable. A grave declaration was issued. In verses 23 and 24, the master said, "None of those which are bidden shall taste of my supper." Now, I don't believe he was saying, because they had rejected the invitation one time only, that they could not ever come again. The implication is, there had been other meals and other invitations and other opportunities and other days that these could have come, but they continued to make excuses. And they continued to give God reasons why they couldn't come, or give the master of the ceremony reasons. There's a solemn, solemn truth. Even though while God's grace is free and God's grace is overflowing and God's grace is for everybody who will come, there is the possibility that we close the door on God's grace. There's the possibility that God's Holy Spirit stops drawing us. There's the possibility, if you've never been saved and you continue to tell God no, that you may tell Him no for the last time. That's why this parable is such a precious parable. These that have come to enjoy a great dinner. Go out, and there's still others in the highways and the byways. Implore them to come in and join the table, for the table is set. Bobby, you always bless me when you sing, buddy. And I had some memories that have really blessed my heart as you were singing about my own mother. And I thought about this very message this morning. The table is set. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have a good time with our loved ones who are there in Jesus. But I wonder if I'll have an opportunity to thank Mama for the wonderful table that she prepared and how she blessed us. And so many others that'll be there, we'll have a chance to say, "Thank you for blessing my life." Amen. Would you bow with me for a moment?